One is called, let's make a gospel sandwich. Okay? Let's make a gospel sandwich. That's simple, right? We're going to make a gospel sandwich this morning. I don't know about you, but how I make my sandwiches, the first thing I usually get is the bread. And I like good bread, right? What I mean by good bread is it's got to be soft, it's got to smell good. We like wheat bread. Some of y'all don't like wheat bread. Some of y'all like white bread. All right, never mind, sorry. All right. But it's got to be good bread. And it can't be the heel part. The heels are good if it's the last resort. But I want to be on the inside of the loaf. Amen? Y'all good? Well, I'm going to give you two good pieces of bread, but then we got to get to the meat. Amen? Because the sandwich is not a sandwich without the meat. Or the peanut butter and jelly, the Spam, potty meat. Amen? Ham, let's upgrade. Turkey. Stuff like that, right? All right, never mind. Y'all good? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, we're going to make a gospel sandwich. Well, the first piece of bread that we take out is in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And it says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth the son, thou shalt call his name Jesus." Then if you turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." God said she was going to birth a child, that she had never been with a man. She was a virgin, and God was going to wrap himself in flesh. God was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. God was going to make himself a man. He's going to make himself the expressed image of God. Every time you see Jesus, that's the expressed image of God in the flesh. So if you ever see God in the flesh, it's Jesus, that's God. Amen? So that's one important part of the gospel, that Jesus came down here and became a man and walked among us. Amen? We celebrate it every Christmas. We get around and we give gifts and we remind ourselves the greatest gift that was ever given was the day that Jesus wrapped himself in flesh and came here and walked among us and talked among us and healed people and went through the villages and taught the gospel. Amen? That's one part of the gospel. It's one piece of the bread. But let me tell you this. Without the cross, it's absolutely meaningless. It means that God came down here and got in the midst of us, but that would have been nothing to us without the cross. Without Jesus being on the cross and dying for our sins, it would have been really good to say God came down and he felt what it felt like to be a man, but it wouldn't be complete. It's a good story. It's not a great story. It's a good start, but it's not the finish. I love the fact that God got in our mess. I love the fact that Jesus got in our flesh. I'm glad that he came down here. But I'm more glad that he only didn't just come down here, but he died for my sins. Every time I think about it, I think about Mary, don't you? I think about a little girl, maybe 15 or 16 years old, and God gets and comes down and tells her something big. Has God ever told you something big? He's told me some big stuff. Amen. I'm going to help you with some ministry type stuff. If you're in ministry or you've been in church for a while or if you've been saved for a while, I want to help you with a little bit of this. I thought about how cool it was when Mary first got told by the angel that she was that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and overshadow her and that she was going to conceive. What was in her was God. Woo! Glory! That's exciting, right? Until you have to live in a small town called Nazareth and explain how you got pregnant without your husband, without Joseph, without being married. It's all exciting. Sometimes we get excited when God comes in a big way and shows out in our lives, but then we have to do some stuff that's very uncomfortable. Listen, I'm trying to preach to you. I'm trying to tell you something. Just because you have Jesus, that doesn't make things easy sometimes. Some things, it gets complicated. Very complicated. But don't worry about the complications because you still got Jesus. I think all the time that every time Mary got criticized or somebody said, well, if I would have been Joseph, if I'd been Joseph, I'd have killed her. Amen? No, never mind. Were any rednecks in here? Amen? Thank you. Amen? Everybody else is like, no, Joseph done the right thing. It's all cool and everything until your wife or your spouse wife, your fiance comes up and says, I'm pregnant. But God did it. Yeah, God did it, right? Right? That was a hard day. But hey, there's going to be hard days when you're a Christian, but if you've got Jesus in you, it doesn't matter because Jesus is in you. Amen? No, she knew in her heart, I didn't do this. I didn't start this. God did this, and I can stand in Jesus Christ. And then I start thinking about her trip to Bethlehem. Amen? What a fun trip that's got to be. 9 months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey for about 300 miles. Any people that have been pregnant before want to make that journey? And then you really, really get to kind of twisting around in the Word and start kind of thinking about it. And the reason they were going up there was where they could get taxed. Awesome. Everybody loves taxes. Amen? So here's Joseph and Mary, 9 months pregnant, going to Bethlehem, and they get up there, and sure enough, no room's available, no room for you. Man, wouldn't you think that God would have opened up some doors? Hallelujah. Amen? God, never mind. Some of y'all must watch TV a lot. Like, oh, God just opens up doors and closes doors. Could he not open up the door of a hotel? Amen? Yes, but he wasn't wanting Jesus to be born in a hotel. He was wanting him to be born in the lowest of low and the poorest of poorest, where he could identify with the weakest and the poorest people, not the richest and most accessible people. So there'll be sometimes in ministry when you're sitting there going, where's God and why did he give me this burden and why am I carrying this Jesus and why is it so hard? It doesn't matter why it's hard. It doesn't matter why God's doing it. It's the fact that you're carrying Jesus. And if you're carrying Jesus, it's enough. I started thinking about something. I started thinking about how cool it must have been when the wise men had shown up. You know there were kings, right? The Magi. Now we've broke it down. We've made it simple. We do it every year to Christmas play. Three dudes come up and they give three little boxes. Not so. These were kings and they were coming to worship the King of Kings. They're Arabic or in the Middle Eastern countries. I want to give you a little bit of a story. Now, I think this is Arnold Palmer, the golfer, but I'm not sure. Don't hold me to it. But years ago, there was a Saudi Arabian king who asked Arnold Palmer or some golfer to come golf with him for a week, and he did. At the end of the week, the Saudi Arabian king, you're talking oil money, you're talking about a very lavish lifestyle, looked at Arnold Palmer and said, before you go back home, I would like to give you something. Arnold Palmer says, man, I have lived like a king here this week. I mean, you have fed me everything I could imagine. We've lived in golden palaces, eat off gold and silver plates, silver spoons. He goes, I really don't need anything. He said, it would embarrass me if you don't let me give you something. He thought, okay, I'm a golf club. Give me some golf clubs or a golf club, right? And the Arabian king said, okay, it's a done deal. And as he was flying back to America and he got home and he was watching for the mail, he kept thinking, I'm going to get a solid gold golf club. Amen? I'm getting a solid gold putter. I mean, that thing's going to be pure gold. Or maybe it's a driver and it's going to be diamond lace driver. But he never received any packages from the mail. But one day, he got a letter in the mail, and it was a certified letter, and it was from the king of Saudi Arabia. And he looked at it, and he said, a letter? I asked for a golf club. So he opens it up, and he pulls it out, and it was the deed to an 800-acre golf club in the United States of America paid for. Amen? Do you understand what he was doing? He was honoring someone who was a golfer. Because in the Middle East, they wanted to honor somebody. Listen, if you're honoring the King of Kings, you don't break out one thing of myrrh, one thing of gold, and one thing, you know, you don't do that. You know what you do? You bless them. These men were unloading boxes and boxes and boxes of the best fragrances, the best myrrh, and lots of gold. Now, some of y'all right now are still going, God, is Kevin going like prosperity preacher on us? No! I'm just telling you, in ministry, there's going to be times where God blesses you and you don't know what to do with a blessing. Amen. And you're going to be sitting there going, man, God, you're so good. Man, this is awesome. You're just blowing me away. And God says, don't worry. This season will end too. Amen? Because not shortly after that, because of the blessing, a lot of times, because the blessings that come into your life, God is just blessing you to prepare you to go into a season that's going to scare the daylights out of you, because Joseph wakes Mary up in the middle of the night and says, pack your stuff, get Jesus, we're going into Egypt. See, all that blessing was to pay for their trip and hiatus into Egypt because people were out to kill them. Amen? The same Jesus. So let me tell you something. There's a great, great story in Jesus becoming a man and walking amongst us. And there's a great illustration of what it's like to be in ministry. You just look at Mary's life. The last scene of Mary's life is where? She's at the feet of the cross, watching her son die. Then after that, seeing him resurrected. Then waiting in the upper room and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at all the roller coasters of ministry in her life. Do you know that she's the only person in the Bible to carry Jesus two ways? Carry God two ways. One in the form of Jesus and two in the form of the Holy Spirit. And everybody in the upper room is going, man, this is amazing. It's like we got God in us. And she's like, I've done this before. Amen? I know exactly how this feels. And some of them in the room said, man, this would be hard to explain to some people. She would say, I know exactly what you mean. I had to explain it to my husband and my mom and my dad and my town and everybody who looked at me. And then even then, they would every once in a while say, isn't that Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? And Mary said to her going, no, it's the only begotten son of God. And I don't know why he chose me, but he came through me. And I don't know why he chose to use me, but he did. And praise God, there's been ups and downs and roller coasters, but I'm the one he chose. And you know what? Praise God, I'm glad he chose me. I think I can handle it. Amen? Amen. I love the gospel, but this piece of bread, this one side piece of the bread of the sandwich of the gospel, it's called Jesus being birthed into this earth. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. That's one piece of the bread, and I like it. But hey, let me tell you something. If he didn't die on the cross, it wouldn't matter to us. Amen? There's another piece. You want to look at it? Let's look over in John 19:30. No, not. Luke 24, one of my favorite verses. I love this. Luke 24, verse 5 and 6. This is really neat. And as they were afraid, I hear pages turn, I'll slow down. Luke 24, 5 and 6. And as they were there, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now this is angels. And this is at the tomb of Christ. Amen? The tomb of Christ. They came to the tomb early and they found it empty. And the angels look at him and ask him, why you seek the living among the dead? Like everybody didn't know that, you know, Jesus wasn't there. Right, never mind. Verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet at Galilee. This is the other piece of the bread of the gospel sandwich. You can't have a good sandwich without two pieces of bread. I love the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection. There's power from on high. What it gives you is it says that God defeated death, hell, and the grave. I want to share this with you. But if Jesus had not died on the cross, then only Jesus and Jesus only would have power over death, hell, and the grave. We wouldn't, and therefore it would be useless. I stand on dangerous ground when I preach on the resurrection, because if you ever let Christians find out that they are resurrected beings already, they're already a part of the resurrection, because the resurrection is not an event, it is a person. Amen? And if you ever sow into the fact that the resurrection is a person in Jesus Christ, and if you're born again and you're saved sitting in these seats this morning and you're already saved, guess what? You are a part of the resurrection. Nothing can hold you in the grave. Death, hell, and the grave has already been defeated. But if Jesus, if He had never died on that cross, He would have came out of the grave and we would have said, man, God is stronger than the grave. He's stronger than death. But we would have been sad because it would have had none effect on us. See, I love the resurrection and I love preaching that kind of stuff. But you know what? There's meat in this sandwich. Amen? But before I get to that, I always love talking about the resurrection. And one person that always stands out to me in the resurrection is Lazarus. Amen? Remember when he died? And it says in the scriptures, he said he was a friend of Jesus. Amen? And they said, hey, you only got a couple of days. And Jesus said, well, we'll tarry here. And he died. Amen? He was sick and he died. And Jesus didn't show up to the hospital. Man, I bet he got in trouble for that one. I bet he got some looks for that one. He didn't even show up to the funeral. Wow! Good friend he is. Amen? Have you ever, some of y'all need to shout right here. Have you ever had a time with Jesus where he didn't show up when you thought he was going to show up, but when he did show up, you were glad that he showed up because he showed up right on time, even though it seemed like he was 3 or 4 days late? There's times in my life where I thought, Jesus, you should have showed up here. And he said, if I'd have showed up there, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I'm doing in your life today. I needed you to see there was no hope but me. There was no chance but me. There was nothing else to count on but me. I love that story. My favorite part is when they get to the tomb. You got to know Mary and Martha. Amen? I love Martha. Got any Marthas in here? Amen? I'm a Martha type. Amen? I am. I'm a get it done, A-type personality. If you don't want to do it, let's get out of the way. Let's get it done. Amen? Mary's a worshiper. I want to get there, but man, I want to get things done. Amen? And Martha's a type person. You remember the story when Martha's cooking and she's doing all the cooking and cleaning and doing? Come on, some of y'all women help me out. Amen? Remember that? And they're over there cooking and cleaning and she's in there coming out and serving and Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus just bawling and weeping and having a good old time. God, don't you love people who can do that? I mean, they just come to the house of God and just worship God and have a great time. And you're over there sitting there going, no, okay, what? No, we gotta calculate this, gotta do that, gotta get this done, got these people over here, gotta got that thing to do. Come on, A-type personalities, you know what I'm talking about. You're trying to get some things done, and some people are just worshiping. I love it, man. Mary's. They're worshiping, having the time of her life. She's like, oh my God, the King is here, the King is here, the King is here. And I'm at His feet worshiping. And Martha's walking around going, oh gosh, I mean, I've served everybody in this room and I cannot figure out why in the world that Jesus ain't getting on my side. Hey, here, yeah, Jesus, you can have some bread. God bless you. All right. And, oh yeah, God, yeah. And could you see it? Can you see her? Can you see, any women here know what I'm talking about? Hey, could you see her cut her eyes? Amen? So you went, who she thinks she is. Yeah, does anybody here got a sister that's opposite of you? Oh my gosh. Even a spirit, you're a sinner going, my gosh, what in the world is she doing? But she finally gets fed up and goes to who? Goes to the top. Jesus, I ain't mad or nothing. But could you get her out of the floor and get her in the kitchen? I love how Jesus responds, Martha, Martha, two times. You ever get that from your daddy? Martha, Martha, Kevin, Kevin, slow down. The world ain't going to come to an end. It could, you know, I've got macaroni burning in there and I've got some bread that needs to be handed out and my goodness, everybody ain't got a plate yet, Jesus, and look at her. Martha, Martha, she's chosen the better thing. Amen? You know what? Her service was her worship. She just had to get the idea that everybody didn't have to do it like she did it. Amen. If she could ever figure out that her service was enough for God and her worship was enough for God. Some of y'all need to hear this. You're enough for God. Some of y'all are thinking, well, I'm not good enough. There's really great people, and they're way up here in the line next to the front with Jesus, and there's people way back. God, David, we're back here. Hey, there's people way back here, and this is where we're at on the scale with Jesus. We're real bad, and the line up there is real good, and where are you? Are you somewhere in the middle? Well, I'm not real bad, and I'm not real good. Can I tell you something? There is no line. There ain't no scale. You're either saved or you're not. And if you're in the family of God, God loves you just as much as He loves the person you think's in the front of the line, or the person that's in the back, or a person you think's in the middle. But there ain't nobody in any line. And there ain't no great ones, and there ain't no little ones. They're just children of God. Aren't you glad of that? There ain't no competition in the house of God. If there is, we all lose. But I love this. I love it because Martha's so practical. She doesn't lose her practicalness, because when they get to the tomb, Jesus comes to the tomb and He sees a problem. He says, hey, roll the stone away. Martha goes, He surely stinks by now. Oh, man. Martha's good, ain't she? Hey, Jesus, I know this is cool and all, but if you roll that tomb away, we got a big stinking problem in there. Lazarus says, this is Middle East stuff, and it's probably hot, and he's in the tomb. We didn't prepare the body that great, and we couldn't afford all the stuff for the burial. You know, if you'd have been here, it would have been great, because he wouldn't even be in there. But God, we got a stinking problem here. And God says, that's just fine, because I'm good with stinking problems. Amen. Roll the stone away, and let's see what we can do. Amen. It's one of my favorite parts of the resurrection, because He hollers out. He goes, Lazarus, come forth. Everybody knows this. You could preach it yourself. Because if He said any other name, or if He had said no names at all, everybody had been buried in that mountainside, would have came out in their grave clothes, no matter if they'd been dead 100 years or 1 minute. They'd have been coming out going, we're here. Y'all probably heard me say this before. That's the most miserable person on the face of the planet, though, is Lazarus. No person that's crossed out of this life into the next life would ever want to come back to this life. No matter how bad we'd want them to, they're waiting on that side going, you need to get here. Because there's no more dying here. There's no more pain here. There's no more cancer here. There's no more heart problems here. There's no more diabetes here. There's no more murder here. If you'll get here, this is where you need to be. If you'll ever get it in your mind that the devil can't do nothing but promote you in death, you'll live a whole lot tougher Christian life. And you won't be scared so much. You'll have a hair trigger on going to work on him every time he gets a chance to do something. Amen? Every time he says, I'm going to end you, you say, okay, that's it. I'm going to start trying to win more souls. I'm going to preach harder. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to go further. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to knock on every door. I'm going to get everybody involved. I'm going to tell every lost person. If that's the way you want to play it, if you want to bring up how bad I am, I'll remember how you're going to enjoy it. I'll be there. Amen. That was a good piece of bread, right? Without Jesus dying on a cross, the birth of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ are useless for us. They're great stories, and they would be powerful. But without a cross, they don't mean anything to us. So let's go to John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Now take your Bible and let's go all the way back to Luke chapter 1. No, Luke chapter 2, if you will. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Now this goes all the way back to the birth, right? But watch what they say at the birth. These are the angels. Verse 11, it says, Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This goes back to our title. Our title is, you got what you needed most. This is the meat that goes in the sandwich. See, when he was born, it says, 2:7. "Unto you is born a Savior," right? What did we need most? Savior. Sometimes in my life, I think I need a financial guy. Amen? There's been times in my life before Jesus and after Jesus, I hate to tell you, I thought, man, I need a real good financial guy. God, be my financial guy. We can be. He can give you wisdom on how to spend your money. He also take you from a stingy person to a person who blesses other people. Ouch. He can open up your heart to things that matter instead of things that don't matter. He can show you the realistic part of materialistic things that don't mean anything and get you to sow into things that are eternal, and you'll be fine, and you'll be living on blessed money instead of cursed. Ouch. That's hard, ain't it? So I know how some of us are. Like, I don't like when preacher preach on financial stuff. I ain't coming back here. I don't care. I don't want your money. Amen? But let me tell you this. If God give you money, then give back to God. It won't hurt you. Whether you give it here or wherever you go. Amen? Hey, somebody asked me one time, "Well, what are you going to do with that money you got? What are y'all going to do with them tithes? What are you going to do with them?" Well, this is what we're going to do. I'm being honest. Listen, this is what we're going to do. When you walked in here, it was cool. Well, it was a little warm and it got cooler. Amen? For some of us. Amen? Okay? That's air conditioning. That costs money. Amen? When you come in here, guess what? The lights were on. Hallelujah. How about that? Amen? We paid that bill. Amen? We got carpet. We got cushions. We got new seats. Praise God. You know what we do with that money? We give you an opportunity to come in a wonderful place and worship. And guess what? That is awesome. Amen? Amen? And guess what? We sing on stuff. We play music. Somebody says, "Hey, Kyle, do this." And you know what? He hits a button. You know why? Because somebody said, "We need to buy one of those." So you know what we're doing with that money? We're giving you a place to worship, and we're trying to honor God with this building. And with all these grounds we have. Can I do one more? Can y'all handle it? Are you going to leave here and go, "They preached on money"? I don't care if you do. Listen, right across the street is a gym, and guess what we do over there on Sunday nights? We have kids out of this community come, 60, 70 kids, somewhere in that number, you know what I mean? And they come over there, and we tell them about Jesus. Some of them that don't have parents who go to church, and guess what? We feed them, and guess what? Some of them get saved. And you know what? Every once in a while, when we're in this building, we're preaching, all of a sudden we'll hear something happen. There'll be a bell out there ringing. It goes, ding, ding, ding. You know what that means? Somebody got saved in Awana. And you know what? Praise God, we took a little bit of that money, and guess what we did with it? We bought two vans, and you know what? We got that van that goes out and gets those kids and bring them in here. That's what we're doing with your tithes and your offerings. And praise God, let me tell you this. If you'll sow into that, God will bless you, but you can keep buying McDonald's hamburgers until you, whatever. Amen. A doctor. Sometimes I need Jesus to be a doctor. Amen. I want him to heal me. And Jesus is a good doctor. Amen. He is. He's a good physician. But sometimes he don't do what I want him to do. He don't heal where I want him to heal. Amen? He don't do the things. But you know what? He could, if he wanted to, he could empty up every hospital. He could do that. And he could cure all the diseases. But you know what? There was a bigger disease that he needed to cure, and it was the sin sickness that this world had. I started thinking about marriage. Man, we all need Jesus to be our marriage counselor, right? Some of you men said, "Amen." And some of you women said, "Bigger, amen." If you'll take Jesus and you'll run him all the way back to the first miracle, he did a miracle at marriage first. Jesus is into marriage. Some of you need to get Jesus into your relationships before you get married, and that would help you have a great marriage. Because if both of you are pulling toward the same goal or the same target, which is Jesus, more than likely both of you will arrive at the same destination together. Amen, preacher! That's good preaching! I hooked up with her in the club, and she won't come to church with me. Really? Amen? Well, the first part I met him at a bonfire, and he was drunk, and he fell in the fire, and I can't figure out why he won't want to come to church with me. Well, I'm sorry, am I being too real for you? Well, I slept with him first and over and over and over, and now I don't even know if I like him, and I don't know if he likes me. We have all these emotions involved, and I don't know how to get out. Never. Because that's not the way it's supposed to work. You had it backwards. Find out if you're a friend of theirs first. Find out if you can stand them. Man, if you'd hung out with them for 2 weeks, you'd have found out they were bat crazy. Amen? If you'd just hung out and talked to them for a while, you'd have found out what they thought about certain things. And my goodness, if you'd have went over to their mom and daddy's house, maybe you could have seen a preview. Sorry, I said that, didn't I? Sorry. I know. How about a job? I need Jesus to help me get employed. I need him to get, let me tell you this. You get after God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you'll have work until the day you die. Let me tell you something. I worked a full-time job for a long, long time, and I would have worked. My dad instilled in me early. Said, if you'll work hard and be there every day, you'll have a job as long as you'll have one. And I said, okay. But you know what? My Father in heaven saved me. He said, I've got more work for you to do than you'll get done in your lifetime. The fields are white for harvest, and I need more workers in the field. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're worried about a job, you need to get sold out to Christ. You'll have more work to do than you could ever imagine. All those are great topics, aren't they? We didn't need any of that. What we needed is a Savior. What we needed was somebody to go on the cross and be a sacrifice. I think John the Baptist said, it says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We needed a Savior. You need a Savior. You know why you need a Savior? Because we're all sin sick. We've been all bit by the same snake. We've been bit by the same thing. We're all headed in the same direction except for Jesus Christ. When He died on that cross, we could all come. The ground's level at Calvary. Everybody could come to the cross and say, God, forgive me. The homosexual, the drug addict, the liar, the thief, the murmurer, the complainer, the one who looks at pornography, the one that does all the simple sins. Oh, I just stole a little bit. I just told a white lie. Praise God, that ground is equal and level and ready for you at Calvary. Some of the hardest people I've ever ministered to in my life are not the people that are the sin sickest, or are the people who think they just got enough and they'll be all right. Go to them, well, I ain't that bad. In God's eyes, you are. In God's eyes, you are. If you've never repented, you're bad. If you have, you're covered by Jesus Christ. Well, I ain't much for church. I ain't either. Till I got saved. I ain't much for singing them songs. I wasn't either till I got saved. Well, I ain't much for church folk. They get on my nerves. Me neither. Until I got saved. Until I got saved. Amen. The most important thing you got in the gospel sandwich is Jesus Christ dying on a cross for your sins. Everything else doesn't matter until you accept what He did at Calvary. Jesus said something very important. We read it this morning. He said, it is finished. The sacrifice of sin took away the power of sin. Amen. The sting of sin. The death of sin. And let me tell you something. You can't escape this fact this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might get all excited about the birth of Christ around Christmas time. And you might come in here on Easter and worship on Easter because there was a Resurrection Sunday. But if you've never been to Calvary, you're celebrating things that have no effect on your life. And if you die today, you would end up in a sinner's hell for eternity. So you got one more opportunity again today to make it right. Some of y'all are saying, man, this is a very simple message. Yep, Jesus made it so simple, a child could understand it. So if a child could understand it, I think every adult in here can. Do you have Jesus? Have you ever made a trip to Calvary? Have you ever came to that place and you said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you died for my sins on that cross. I repent for my sins. That means I turn. There's an important part. Some of you are claiming salvation and you never turned away from your sins. You don't hate your sin as much as God does. Amen? I'll be honest with you. The sin I hate the worst is my own. Amen? That's where you got to examine yourself. Am I still living the same? And if you have not, we're going to give you an opportunity to come up here on this altar. Pray. Well, do you need somebody to get with you? If you want me to, I'll stand right here and I'll pray with you if you want me to. But if you don't want me to, and if you just want to come up here and talk to the Lord out of your own heart, out of your own mind, let me tell you something. You do that, and He'll honor it. Amen? Let's all stand as she comes to sing. Jody, as she sings, I'll stand right down here. If you need me to pray with you, I will. If not, just walk right past me and get on this altar and pray. If you have anybody in your life that's not saved and you know it, or you're wondering, come pray. Come pray for them. Ain't nothing works like the prayers of saved people for lost people. You might be, let me say this, you might be the only one praying for some people. You might be the only one who gets on the altar for your daughter, for your son, for your family. You might be the only one that's still praying. But God will honor that as she sings.